This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Hey everyone, at the time of this episode's release, we're currently on a one-month honeymoon, exploring Hong Kong, Fiji, and New Zealand. And while we're taking a short break from recording new episodes, we didn't want to go completely silent. So over the next few weeks, we're releasing a few special conversations we've had on other amazing podcasts with permission from the hosts. These are some of our favorite interviews where we go deep on our travel philosophy, our favorite redemptions, and how we use points and miles to create unforgettable experiences. This week's episode comes from my appearance in episode 221 of the very popular GeoBreeze Travel podcast with Julia Menez. In this episode, I round out some of the top tips from our most popular episodes of 2024, as well as talk about a few travel experiences of our own. If you're newer to the show, this is a great episode that recaps some of our more popular episodes from our podcast's first year that are definitely worth going back to listen to, all of which we will list in the show notes for you to make it even easier. And while we're out honeymooning, make sure to follow us on Instagram to catch all the behind-the-scenes moments, from lie-flat business class seats to luxury lounges and incredible places you might just want to add to your own travel list. Dream it, plan it, do it. And I think sometimes we just have to simply do that, right? If we have a place we want to go, a destination, let's think it through, let's create a plan, but we can spend forever planning. Sometimes you just have to pull the trigger and get it done.
Hey there, points people. You just heard a clip from DeAndre Koch from Boldly Go. DeAndre is a financial planner and points enthusiast. And in today's episode, we are going to walk through some of the top insights his guests have provided on his points podcast. It's called Revolutionizing Your Journey, Travel with Points and Miles. And if you are in the market for a new card to earn points so you can travel like DeAndre, check out geobreezetravel.com/cards. And if you're not sure what card is right for you, I offer free credit card consultations at geobreezetravel.com/consultations. We'll send you personalized recommendations based on your particular travel goals, budget, and lifestyle. And now, on with the show. Hey, DeAndre. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast.
Julia, thanks for having me. I'm so happy to be here today.
I am so excited to have you here. A fellow Points and Miles podcaster who has interviewed a ton of different people, some of them who are now definitely on my to-do list to reach out to and have on this show. And we are going to today talk about some of the best juicy Points and Miles tips that your guests have shared with your audience. But before we talk about all of them, tell us about you. How did you get into the game of Points and Miles?
About my background. So I'm a financial advisor. I actually own a financial planning firm based out here in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Work with clients all over the country in financial planning. And so I'm kind of naturally analytical. And so I also love to travel. And so for me, my goal was how can I get more maximized travel? And I kind of stumbled upon the Chase Sapphire Reserve card when it first came out back, I think that was 2016, 2017, learned about the points that it generates. And like probably most people that get these cards early on just use the points through the travel portal. But I said, hey, there's got to be something more efficient with this. So started doing some research, unpacking it a little bit more, found out about things like transferring points and all these different things. And that's why I really started to deep dive. So probably around 2017, 2018, really got into the world of transferable points, sending to airlines, all these different things to maximize travel. And what ended up happening was clients were constantly asking me as their financial advisor recommendations for credit cards. And that also helped kind of spur my goal to learn more and more and more about it. And so I was able to then actually pivot and make recommendations to them of different cards they should get to benefit themselves, whether they're looking for cash back or points or whatever it may be, and turn that into part of our practice now. Many of our clients that we work with on a fiduciary planning basis, I end up talking through them like, hey, here's how you can have this dream trip and you don't have to wait till you're retired to or blow through your investment portfolio to pay for it. We can actually make it a lot more efficient. So it's a really unique spin I'm able to do as a financial advisor.
Amazing. And speaking of different luxe travel tips that you're sharing with your clients and everyone else on the internet,
Can you tell us a little bit about the episode you did with Andy Cantu and how you guys talked about Lux travel tips and what was the juiciest tip to come out of that episode?
So for Andy, that was a really cool episode because he has an entire course that he promotes along the lines of using, you know, points and miles. And I think what was really great that we talked about through him is he really starts that course with talking through the basics of credit and helping to rewrite people's brains essentially around their thought process with credit. And that's the thing that I think when people are getting into this game or this hobby, they have to overcome a lot of objections, either kind of self-taught or pushed on them, like, hey, having credit cards are bad. All these different things, which we know that having debt is bad, paying a significant amount of interest is bad, but having a credit card in itself that may have a fee but generates rewards and points, there's nothing wrong with that. Understanding credit utilization, all of those different things. So I think what was really great about that episode was unpacking the fact that there's elements to the points and miles game that you have to really understand, of course, in the basics, but really knowing that from a standpoint of credit and those type of things, if you manage your finances well and plan accordingly, points and miles can work well. But at the same time, as we all know, you can't get into debt.
For sure. Always good to have your foundation set before you start stacking on all of these different tips and tricks and getting into the fancy stuff. And speaking of stacking, I think you did a great episode with your fiance as well about stacking different promotions. Can you tell us about that episode and what the title of it is so that people know what to search for?
Yeah, so the title of that episode was Turn Everyday Purchases into Maximum Travel Rewards, and that Shopping Portals Explained. That was episode 49. And so that was really tied in actually with the recent Black Friday and holiday shopping that we had, because I think shopping portals, for those of us that are in the points and miles world fairly religiously, we know that these are an absolute win. But I think there's something that's constantly slept on by a lot of individuals, because you can use something as simple as Rakuten or American Airlines Advantage Shopping and absolutely blow your points game out of the water. A really great example, and we actually mentioned this on our podcast, but there was an offer for SoFi. If you went through the Rakuten app, and you set up a checking account with SoFi, and in that checking account, you simply set up at least one $500 direct deposit, you would get $350 cash back. Well, if you have your Amex account linked to Rakuten, then you actually get membership rewards instead. So that $350 in cash back changes into 35,000 Amex membership rewards points, which for yourself and myself, Julia, I know we can turn 35,000 points into like a minimum of $700, $800, $1,000 worth of value. So that was like the easiest way to get $1,000 worth of value. And that was just going through a shopping portal. So anytime anyone does really any form of online shopping, they should be using some sort of shopping portal, whether they're going to get 1 cent per mile or 1 point per, sorry, one cent per dollar or 1 point per dollar, whatever it may be. The goal would be how much additional value or points can you bring yourself just by doing the same basic shopping, holiday shopping you would have done otherwise. And that makes it really easy. That's part of the way that we actually have acquired our American Airlines status is through the American Airlines shopping portal. And so constantly we're trying to see, well, Rakuten's given us, you know, 10x on this deal. American Airlines is giving us 5x on this deal. Which do we value more in this very moment? Do we still need to hit status with American? Do we want more Amex points? So every time we go online shopping for my fiance, it could be for Sephora or Petco or whatever it may be, we're going to be looking at 100%. If you're buying an appliance, something major, something expensive, tires, all those different things, you got to use a shopping portal to maximize your points.
Yeah, amazing tip for earning more points without having to spend more money for sure. So let's talk about once you have some of these points, what are some tips for how to maximize them? I know that you had Kevin Zanes on your show to talk about his amazing tool for finding more flight deals. What do you think was the juiciest quick tip that came out of that episode?
I really think for his episode, which was episode 39, the real interesting thing there was he actually talks through how he's broken down. He's a data analyst, right? So he crunches numbers on a way that even as a financial advisor, I think on another level, he actually broke down all the reasons why the best card for a family is the Amex Gold card. And he had the numbers to talk through that, the reasoning, the logic, and the spoiler alert, a lot of that's tied to the fact that for most families, their biggest expenses are going to be groceries and dining out. And of course, that card offers the highest value for those things. And so he really broke through a lot of different preconceived notions, or not preconceived, but he had thoughts that were very different than you would typically hear a lot of points and miles influencers or people that push out different recommendations. He went a little bit of a different way, but he used data to back it up, which I really liked.
I love when people have data rather than just anecdotal stories about, oh, well, this is what worked for us, and I have no idea what works for anybody else, but this is what I'm going to recommend because it's the only data point I have. I love when people are able to think outside of just their own personal experiences and give advice based off of a more data-driven approach. I really appreciate that about Kevin. Speaking of family travel, you had Amna on your show as well. She specializes in family travel. She's based out of Texas. She has three kids. What are some of the best tips that came out of that episode on your podcast for people who are looking to travel more as a family, because booking 5 award seats is very, very difficult compared to just booking 1 or 2.
So yeah, right. Her scenario is very unique, being a family of 5. When I say unique, I mean, for myself and my fiance, we're booking business class, luxury trip, Emirates, but it's just 2 seats. That's relatively easy to do. I say relatively because it's not easy, but it's still relatively easy. A family of 5 is on another level. Add to the fact that most places you have to cap your how many people are going to stay in your hotel room at 4. So pretty much most places they go, they're going to have to book 2 hotel rooms every night that they're looking to stay somewhere. So I thought it was really interesting when she talked through what she does with her family to be able to allow them to travel on points and miles, her favorite cards that she uses specifically, how much Hyatt Globalist status has helped them with their travels as well. But I think what was really, really unique with her is the fact that we were able to talk a lot about faith-based travel and the fact that with her being Muslim, she actually is doing their basically their spiritual pilgrimage and how she was able to do that with points and miles. And what I do think was also interesting is, and she mentioned this in the episode, is the fact that in the Muslim community, basically interest and credit card and debt is like strictly forbidden and frowned upon. So it's very interesting that, of course, we know we're not paying interest, we're not creating debt, but she had to overcome those barriers in thought. And also she helps educate people in that space as well. So I think for those listening to your show that are thinking, man, I get so much pressure, my player two, my spouse, my community, they say all these negative things that I know isn't true about points and miles or having credit card or whatever it may be. She's a really great example of someone that has done it and continues to do it and has thriving because of it.
Amazing. As people look into maybe making their first redemption as a family or as a solo traveler or as a couple, when you're making your first redemption, what are some pitfalls to watch out for? Because I know you did an episode about common pitfalls, especially for beginners, featuring Ryan from Profits and Points. What were some of the tips that came out of that?
So with Ryan, we talked about a lot of really good things. I'd say some of the basics and the pitfalls are going to be the things such as, we mentioned this already, don't go into debt. At the same time, don't get too overwhelmed. There's so much information out there on points and miles. There's so many blogs. There's, of course, there's multiple podcasts, but there's also great information and great content creators like you yourself, Julie. I mean, GeoBreeze has honestly been a staple even for myself. I've listened to your podcast for years. So yeah, there's a lot of really good information out there, but it's very, very easy to become overwhelmed. So you really have to start by understanding what you're looking to go get out of points and miles yourself. And that's going to be very different for myself and my fiance. As an example, we want the luxury travel experience. For other families, that could just be, we want to be able to travel and not have to pay as much out of pocket or pay cash. So while Taryn and I might go to Paris in business class. For them, it might be the same amazing experience that they can bring their whole family of four or five, maybe in economy, but to Paris as well. Or having the ability to use points and miles to take an unexpected trip to using Southwest Airlines to see family or see a friend that you might have otherwise do. So that was really cool with Ryan. But the other piece I think was really interesting in his episode is he did the episode immediately after coming back from a luxury Alaskan honeymoon cruise where he could have spent in cash somewhere between $15,000 to $20,000. And by using some really creative points and miles strategies, I think he ended up only spending around $5,000, which again, that's still a decent amount, but he did it he was still able to save roughly 75%. And as you and I know, cruises are not really easy to be able to book on points. And so he talks through what his process was, some of the tricks he used with different cards that have different benefits, like the Capital One Points Eraser and things like that, that was able to help him minimize his costs out of pocket, which is really cool.
Yeah, those are great pitfalls to avoid. And I know a couple other ones are like shiny card syndrome, where I know a lot of people see influencers online doing things that seem just a little bit impossible for the average family or for the average person, because we're traveling full time a lot of the time, but a lot of people still have day-to-day jobs that you're managing. I know you're the same way, where you still have a 9-to-5, and I know that you've done a couple episodes about how to balance this lifestyle of points travel with still having kind of a full-time job. For this episode, you featured travel partners. What are some of the tips for people who are like, yeah, I can't travel as much as these people? How do I still get value out of the game?
Yeah, so I've had a few individuals like that on the episode. I'm going to mention them, but I'm going to talk about travel partners, but I'm also going to mention one other person as an additional plug for this one. So with the travel partners, they're actually Canadian based. And basically they said, we want to travel, we're going to do it, we're going to figure it out. And I think a lot of the times, similar to analysis by paralysis when it comes to what card to get and the points and everything we need there, sometimes that actually happens as well with just taking the leap to get out there and taking a trip. And we don't have to spend all the time researching the perfect location, the perfect redemption, the perfect price. Sometimes it's just saying, you know what, let's carve out 3 or 4 days, let's get away, and let's have an incredible time. Now, obviously, you can add more value to that by getting that great redemption, the luxury stay, the free night, the upgrade, whatever it may be. But that's a really cool thing to do, is just to say, hey, you know what? Let's get out and do it. And there was someone that we had on the show before. They're not in the points and miles space, but I also like featuring individuals that just have really, really cool travel stories. And so this couple, they're called Hudson and Emily. That's also their handle online. And their Instagram is blown up. They're actually on a quest right now to visit every country in the world. And I think they only have like 2 or 3 left. But they had a slogan from that one that was super impactful. And it was something that his father had actually told him, which was, dream it, plan it, do it. And I think sometimes we just have to simply do that, right? If we have a place we want to go, a destination, let's think it through, let's create a plan, but we can spend forever planning. Sometimes you just have to pull the trigger and get it done.
I love that. I tend to live by the motto of make a decision, then make it work. And just, you have to go forward. Sitting there with indecision is probably the worst thing you can do, because if you just sit there on your points, they'll inflate and then you'll never get to take that magical vacation that you are looking to do. And speaking of magical vacations, let's talk about some specific trips that people have talked about on your podcast. So one is with Disney Parks. This one was featuring Amanda from Magic and Miles, and she specializes in how to use points and miles for different Disney trips, which I know nothing about. So tell us a little bit about some of the juicy tips that she was able to share on your podcast. And for anybody who's like, wait, can you use points and miles for Disney? What's the tips and tricks there?
Yeah, so this one was one that was super interesting, because I also know nothing about Disney parks or travel. And my fiance and I, we don't have kids, nor do we have plans to have kids. So Disney is not super high on our radar. But I learned a lot of really cool things, not just about points and miles for Disney, but also the Disney experience as well. Like, as an example, you can basically order online through an app your food at like any restaurant or food station in Disney, and that can save you from waiting in line. So super small tips like that. But also, she mentioned some places in the hotel she stayed at where some of her Hyatt status came into play. She lives not too far from Disney California Adventure, and so she talks through where points came into play when it comes to staying there, or also how she's actually traveled all the way to Florida for Disney World, but even as far as Disney World Paris, and I think a couple others. I think she might be only missing one. I feel like it might be Tokyo, but that might have been the one that she actually went to. So she covers the fact that she's been to multiple different Disney parks in different parts of the world, and the fact that there are different strategies that can come into play. You can't just buy your ticket all at once on points. However, she does mention a few different unique things that you can do on the international Disney travel. Although you can't typically, especially in the US, buy your Disney park access on points, there are a few different ways that she mentions that you can actually buy your park passes or your tickets or different things like that for the international parks that code as travel. And if you have the Capital One, like Venture X as an example, you can use the points eraser for travel because it codes as travel, which is can come in handy as well. So there's a few different unique kind of niche scenarios that she presented. But I think for the person or the family that wants to go to Disney and figure out how it can be done on points, that was really helpful.
Speaking of other niche scenarios, some people are like, I want to use my points and miles to get as many business class trips as possible. How do I go around the entire world for as few points as possible? And this is something that the Point Sisters really, really specialize in. Can you tell us a couple of tips and tricks that they shared on your podcast for people who are looking to book one of those around the world trips with ANA miles, which is probably the biggest way to get your cents per point in, but it can be challenging to get it booked?
Yeah, so this one was probably one of our most popular episodes, and also the one that has me just mind blown. They've been on the show, I've heard them speak live at the Travel More conference, and this one still just leaves my jaw on the floor, because for as little as essentially 105,000 Amex points, you can fly around the world with multiple stops in multiple countries in business class per person. And so, again, 210,000 Amex points on the low end. On the mid to higher end, maybe more like 150 per person, you can fly around the world. It has to be in a continuous direction. And they talk about how you have to cross over multiple or each region. So there's the Americas, there's kind of the Europe, Africa region, and then there's the Oceania, Asia region, right? So you have to go in a continuous circle, either east to west, west to east, but you could have so many stops in that time frame. So this trip can be as minimal as, I believe it's 10 days up to a max of 1 year. The stopovers can be months long. So you can plan this as a romantic honeymoon experience. I think one of them, Devin, I believe for her honeymoon, actually did this over the course of 3 weeks, stopped in Africa and different things like that. You could actually plan out, if you want to backpack around the world for a year, you could do it on points for in flying in business class, which is probably not synonymous with backpacking. So I think this was probably one of the most fascinating episodes that we've had, because of the fact that who knew for so little points you could fly around the world. Now the catch is, it's not easy to book, and you have to really know what you're doing, and the Point Sisters are absolutely experts in this. And so it's episode 25 on our show. Take a listen and then reach out to them to have them figure out for you how to do it.
You mean to tell me it's almost 2026 and you're still paying rent without Bilt? We definitely can't have that. Bilt is the loyalty program for renters that rewards you for your biggest monthly expense, rent. With Bilt, every rent payment earns you points that can be used towards flights, hotels, Lyft rides, Amazon.com purchases, and so much more. And when you pay rent through Bilt, you unlock access to exclusive benefits from a network of more than 45,000 merchants. Just link your credit cards, spend at your favorite local spots, earn Bilt points on top of your regular card rewards, and get one step closer to that trip you wanted to take. Personally, I'd redeem my points towards one of my upcoming flights or hotels. Bilt points have been ranked the most valuable point currency by the Points Guy, and they just announced Bilt Cash, a way to unlock even more value from Bilt's partners. It's simple. Paying rent is better with Bilt. Earn rewards and finally get something back for being a renter. Join the loyalty program for renters at joinbilt.com/journey. That's joinbilt.com/journey. Make sure to use our URL so they know that we sent you.
Yeah, there are a lot of technicalities when it comes to booking one of those ANA around the world trips, especially with just the scheduling and the knowing your routes and everything else and being able to kind of figure out what routes are going to be available to you. On a similar note, there is a strategy for people who don't want to open up a whole bunch of different credit cards, where they don't have points, where maybe they're based outside of the US and they don't have access to our credit card system, so they can't do a lot of the games we do. In those cases, we recommend buying points, but only strategically. And I know you had German on your show as well to talk about some different strategies with how to get luxury travel and buying points when you see deals and how you can get 70 or 80% that way. He does a lot of great tutorials on Instagram about this topic. What are some of the tips and tricks that he shared with your audience?
Yeah, so German was on episode 47. Again, this was one of our top episodes of the entire year here for 2024. And so what was really interesting, well, I actually want to give a shout out to him. His content has actually been so good that he blew up on Instagram. He gained like 200,000 followers in the first like 2 months of having his account, which is wild. But some of the tips were just talking through when, as you mentioned, buying points can make a lot of sense. Now, he even says in the show, the best way to get these points are through getting the cards that have the points. But if you're opposed to having cards, or maybe you're just not ready yet to get those cards, but you want to take advantage and buy the points, here's an opportunity. So he names some 5-star luxury resorts in different parts of the world, Costa Rica, Hawaii, different places where they're typically 1,000, 2,000. There's some places I think he's even posted are $4,000 to $5,000 a night. But finding out where, how many points they are, and then usually taking advantage of some sort of buy points and bonus promotion. So like Hilton, as an example, has had a, let's just call it 100-point bonus promotion, where if you buy 100,000 points, you'll get 100,000 points. Now, they do cap you for the year, and he goes into all these different things. But just as an example, you could buy, let's just say, 200,000 points, and then you get a bonus of 200,000 points in total. You have 400. And perhaps this stay at the resort is, let's call it 100,000 points a night, just for easy math. Well, a 5-night stay would typically be 500,000 points. But if you have status with Hilton, and with that status, you can easily get through one of their cards, the Amex Platinum, things like that. If you have status, it's use points on the 4 nights, get the 5th night free. So you can get that 5th night free in points. So you can basically get a 5-night stay. You only used 400,000 points for 4 nights. And if you bought some of those points, you probably got them somewhere around 25 to 50% or more, or as much as 80% off in value. So that's how you can really reduce and condense your cost. So that's something that most people wouldn't do. They would see their stay, they would just pay cash for it and call it a day. But you can be really strategic. But now, one thing you have to keep in mind, these are going to be some of the lower points days of the year. So some of these nights that are 100,000 points now could be 500,000 points the next week. It's going to take a little bit more finessing. You can't just say, oh, I want to use spring break week. You got to be a little bit more flexible around the nights that you choose, which he goes into as well. So it was a super insightful episode, really hitting on when buying points makes sense. And there's two pieces to it. You have to know when to buy, but at the same time, you have to know how to redeem, which is key.
For sure. Another thing that's key is tracking your 5 over 24 status, especially if you're like, I don't want to buy points. I just want to get credit cards over and over again. There's a lot of credit cards going on. There's a lot of annual fees. How do we track this? You had Zach from Travel Freely on your show as well. What are some of the tips and tricks that he shared?
So for Zach, I think it was really talking a lot about the value of that app. I believe he's been on your show as well. And the app is a phenomenal app. In my opinion, it's probably one of the most talked about, maybe most used apps in the points and miles space, specifically because it allows you the ability to track exactly where your 524 status is, as you mentioned. It allows you to know when you have an upcoming time limit on your signup bonuses. So you don't forget that, man, I still need to spend another $50 to hit the 3K in the next 3 days, or else all this work I did beforehand doesn't happen. I've heard the horror stories of people that they got a card and they miscalculated, or not even miscalculated, they just kind of forgot the due date of their signup bonus and missed it. And so we want to avoid that. And so a lot of nice features. And I think the really cool thing with the Travel Freely app is, unlike others, it doesn't integrate at all. You don't have to add your passwords in or your logins for accounts. So there's no security risks at all. You literally just tell it the day that you got a specific card and it knows what the bonus was for that card in that day. Taryn and I use it for tracking our own, for tracking our business cards, all those different things. So I think it's a really well-designed app in the points and miles space. I think it should be a staple for pretty much anyone playing this game.
Speaking of other staple tools that people use, a lot of people just use Google Flights to search for flights and figure out whether there is a cheap cash flight available. And what a lot of people might not know is there is a free plugin that you can install with Google Flights, so it'll just show up on your Google Flights page of should you use points or miles for a particular flight. And they're starting to support more and more airlines on this. You had Julian Keel from Points Path onto your show. What are some of the tips that he shared with your audience about Points Path, and also how to decide should you use points or should you just pay for it in cash and save your points for another day?
Yeah, another top episode that we had this year, that was episode 38. And I really love the Points Path plugin because it's so easy, because it's just a plugin. I don't know if you do as well, but I naturally, like when I'm looking for a flight, the first place I can just go is Google Flights. Before I'm looking on points and seats.aero and all the tools, I just go to Google Flights and just see what are the flights, what are the costs. And the really great thing is, especially for domestic travel, is it automatically built into your browser will generate the points cost for said flight on United, on Delta, on American, and they have a lot of other airlines they've incorporated now as well, which has been really nice. And so the tool also makes it easy because it not only tells you, yeah, you naturally see the cash price with Google Flights, but it not only tells you the points, it also tells you whether or not you should use the points or cash. And if it's a points deal, it'll tell you if it's a good deal or a great deal. And so I've actually found that pretty interesting because, as an example, I don't currently have Alaska Airlines in my portfolio of miles. I'm a big American user, and I've seen some flights that are on American, and it will show me that American miles, it's, I don't know, maybe 12,000 miles as an example on American, but then it will show me Alaskans like 6,500. And it gets me thinking, wow, maybe I want more Alaskan miles in my portfolio. And these are flights that I was planning on paying cash anyway. I wasn't even looking to use points. I was going to pay cash for the flight, maybe a hopper, positioning flight, whatever it may be. So it kind of puts the points a lot more forward in your mindset and really seeing the value that points can have. In understanding, if you don't want to do the math and figure out yourself what could be a good redemption or not. And it's just nice because you don't have to go through another website to search the same flight. It's just built into the same thing that you're going to use, or that most people use in general for their flight searching.
Yeah, and it's free. It's convenient. Highly recommend everybody just go check out Points Path. You can just Google Points Path, Google Chrome extension, click a couple buttons. It's installed straight into google.com/flights.
Yeah, the free part is the piece I think that makes it even the best, is because it's literally just free. There's like no reason to not do it.
For sure. So you've had so many great guests on your podcast who have dropped tons of gems and great tips for people who are looking to dive deeper into points and miles. How about you? What's your number one tip that you want to share with everybody?
Yes. So for me, being a financial advisor, obviously, I'm always looking at unique strategies and different things. And I think there's things that we always talk about, and I talk about with my clients as well. I'm going to give you two. One is probably well talked about, but the other I think is a sleeper that not a lot of people know about. So the one is, of course, when it comes to tax time, it's almost a no-brainer to use a card that generates points and miles to pay your taxes. For me as a business owner, and I've got a few businesses, I have to pay not only just regular year-end taxes, but I pay my estimated quarterly taxes throughout the year. I don't look forward to paying taxes, but I do look forward to the points that I get when I use a card to do so. Usually the fee for paying taxes is around 1.85%, and I try to use a card that gets me at least 1.5 or 2x value or more. And then, of course, I'm going to redeem it for way more. So it absolutely makes sense for me in that standpoint. But the real one I wanted to drop is using points or using credit cards to generate points for your payroll. And this one is, I think, the one that is not well known about. So as a business owner with the financial planning firm, we have multiple employees. Every single pay cycle, which is twice a month, we actually run our payroll through a software or through a website called Zill Money. And I have a whole episode that's dedicated to explain this in great depth. It's about 30 minutes of explanation. It's episode 53 on our podcast and a blog post about it as well. But we use a tool called Zill Money that allows us to basically put our payroll on a credit card. And then, of course, that generates points and miles. And the really cool thing about this is that it's a 3% fee to do it. But if you use the Chase Business Preferred card, I don't know why this happens, but this vendor online codes as office and shipping, and the Chase Business Preferred gets 3x of value for office and shipping and travel and a few other things up to a max of $150,000 for the year. So you can use your payroll with this card and up to the first $150,000 generate 3x of value on it, and you paid 3% in fees. So it's a wash on the cost and the fee to do so. But of course, the redemption then makes it mean that it's a no-brainer completely. And we go into depth on it. And one thing I'll also say, you don't have to change your payroll provider at all. So whoever you use, Paychex, ADP, Gusto, I use Sure Payroll. You don't have to change your payroll provider at all. You literally use your payroll statement that generates every time you run payroll and apply it into Zill Money. And that's how the process works. And I explain in a lot more detail the nuances and the numbers and all those different things in episode 53. But that, I think, is probably the highlight of one of the things that we've done this year. And a good chunk of the points that I've earned this year have come through the payroll on card strategy.
How do you spell Zill Money?
It's Z-I-L Money. So not Zell, like the way that you send money to each other, but yeah, it's just Z-I-L Money. And it's all done through, that's like their business portal, and they're tied to Zill Bank, Z-I-L Bank.
You said it codes as office and shipping. Does it code as office supply stores? Because then you could get 5X on the Chase Inc. Business Cash, or is it more like a shipping company?
So truth be told, I kind of found this out by accident. And what I mean by that is, when I started using it on payroll, I was just using my Amex Business Platinum because I knew there was a 3% fee, and any charge on the Amex Business Platinum over 5,000 gets you that extra 0.5%. So I was like, I'll pay a 3% fee, I'll get 1.5x points. And of course, as long as I redeem for 2x or more, it makes sense. So I was using that. And also, there's no real limit on the Amex Platinum, so I wasn't really worried about space on the card at all. When I got the Chase Business Preferred for the wealth management business this year, I was like, well, I want to hit the signup bonus. So I'm just going to apply payroll for it once, basically, to be able to hit the signup bonus. And I did. And then I just happened to be checking my points on that card for whatever reason. And I saw that it said 3X, but it says office and shipping. And so I don't exactly know, because I haven't really had the interest to change to any other card because of the amount of points I get from it. But it is worth trying to see if it does code and get the 5X. I just have never actually tried on another one.
Yeah, that's a great tip. I'm sure a lot of people will try out Zill Money now and let us know in the YouTube comments what you find out.
I'm super curious.
And speaking of YouTube and podcasts and all of that, where can people find you when they want to inevitably check out your podcast as well?
Absolutely. So our podcast is called Revolutionizing Your Journey, Travel with Points and Miles. You can also probably find it just by searching my name, DeAndre Koch. On Instagram, our handle is boldlygo.world. And our website is also the same. It's boldlygo.world. And then on YouTube, it's just Boldly Go World, no dot in there. Boldly Go is kind of the brand that we operate from a travel and points and miles standpoint. And on the other side of the equation, when it comes to financial planning, our firm is Truicity Wealth Management. And you can find that, again, just by putting the search out there. And there's links to it all over the place as well.
Perfect. Well, thank you again, DeAndre, so much for coming onto the show today, for expanding the world of points and miles and connecting with all of the different experts that you have brought onto your show, and for sharing your knowledge with us here today.
Thank you so much for having me today, Julia. I appreciate it.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike Siegel from the Travel Tales podcast. You know, I've heard some crazy travel stories over the years, and Travel Tales is full of funny, inspiring, and wild adventures that I hope you'll enjoy. Listen now at voyescape.com.
Can you travel in a way that's better for people and the planet? On Curious Tourism, the Responsible Travel Podcast, we explore how tourism shapes our world, for better or worse. From overtourism and sex tourism to last chance travel, join me, Erin Hines, and my producer, Katie Lohr.
That's me.
To explore the ways in which we can all travel better and build a positive tourism future. Subscribe to Curious Tourism wherever you get your podcasts.